On the pastor study, we're going to continue our series entitled Great Doctrines of the Bible. Today's doctrine we'll be looking at is the Trinity. The Trinity. But before we begin, let's go to the Lord for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for the opportunity to come to open up your perfect, pure, inspired, infallible, inerrant, preserved words in this authorized version, 1611, King James Bible. Father, as we look at these great doctrines of the Bible, it's my prayer that individuals listening will now know why and what they believe, and to know it's based upon the very words of God. In fact, that they'll be able to take these verses down, and someone asks them a question about a particular doctrine, they can give them the answer, because the answer is found in your words. Father, we pray that through thy words today that you'd encourage each and every one of us, lift us up, strengthen us to continue to walk in the Spirit, Lord, and to live a life that's pleasing in thy sight. And I pray and I ask this all in your Son Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. People often declare, I cannot understand the concept of the Trinity. How can one be three and three be one? Because I don't understand it, I won't believe it. It's true that understanding the Trinity is a little like trying to comprehend eternity. It's a very difficult task to grasp an infinite person in concept with a finite mind. In fact, the word Trinity isn't even found in the Scriptures. But does that believe that we can't understand it or don't believe it? Amen? For that matter, the word rapture, the catching away of the body of Christ at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, the word rapture is not found in the Scriptures, but that doesn't mean we don't believe that great doctrine of the rapture, amen? Despite all of that, God would have you and I to know more than most of us think. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy with me, if you would. Deuteronomy chapter 29 is where I want to take you right now. Deuteronomy 29 and verse 29. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. And of course, this law is referring to the Mosaic law. But we want to see here, there are things that God reveals to you and I as his children. Amen. And that he wants us to teach to our children. Amen. So there's secret things that God doesn't want us to know, but there are things that, yes, indeed, he wants us to know. And I believe the doctrine of the Trinity, as all the other great doctrines of the Bible we've been looking at, he wants us to know and understand. Point number one we want to look at is the Trinity declared. The Trinity declared. Each member of the Trinity possesses the same divine attributes and is thus co-equal with the others. Now let's look at some verses of Scripture. First, in the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John. This is one of my favorite ones in John chapter 10. In John chapter 10, verse 30, Jesus is speaking, and he says, I and my Father are one. Again, John chapter 10, verse 30. John, I and my Father are one. Now, here's a good verse to show that God the Father and God the Son are one and the same. Amen. That Jesus Christ was the Jehovah God of the Old Testament. You know, the Jehovah's Witnesses, the cult, the Jehovah's Witnesses do not believe in the existence of the Son of God. Amen. They don't believe Jesus was equal with the Father. In fact, I remember having a Jehovah's Witness coming to my door one day and showing them that verse to show them that Jesus and Jehovah God, God the Father, were one. And, of course, their little thing was, well, that's not what it means. But that's exactly what it means. Jesus said, I and my Father are one, one and the same. Let's turn to the book of Psalms. Psalms with me, if you would. Psalm 110. Psalm 110 in verse 1. We read, the Lord, all in caps, God the Father said unto the Lord, that's God the Son, capital L, the rest of the letters are lowercase, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. And then in Acts chapter 2 with me, Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, and we want to look at verse number 34 of Acts chapter 2. We read, for David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord, that's God the Father again, said unto my Lord, that's God the Son, sit thou on my right hand. Of course, here he's quoting from Psalm 110, verse 1 that we just read. Now, the threefold title to the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, under the name God, assumes both oneness and equality. Let's see, first of all, Matthew chapter 3 with me. Matthew chapter 3. And in Matthew chapter 3, I want us to look together at verses 16 and 17. And here, of course, we have the baptism of Jesus Christ. And we read in verse 16, and Jesus, so here we have the Son present, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God. There's God the Holy Spirit, descending like a dove, and lightning upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And of course, God the Father. So we see God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit here, present at the baptism of Jesus Christ. Now, let's turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. In Matthew chapter 28, look with me in verse number 19. Of course, Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20 are often referred to as the Great Commission. But look at in verse 19. Jesus says, go ye, therefore, teach all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So we baptize, amen. Believers' baptism in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. But look with me in Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. In verse number 48. And here in Acts chapter 10, verse 48, we have the baptism in water, water baptism of Cornelius and those of his household after they believed on Christ, after they heard the preaching of the death, burial, and resurrection by the mouth of Peter. Acts chapter 10, verse 48. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Well, some of you may be scratching your head and say, okay, here we have a Gentile, an honest-to-goodness Gentile that was saved, believed on Christ, believed in the death, burial, and resurrection. Amen. And then they were baptized after they believed. But they were baptized in the name of the Lord. And then over in Matthew 28, we just saw we're to go and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Well, let me clear something up for you. If you did a study in the Scripture, New Testament, you would find places or a place where both all three, of course, we saw Jesus, the Son of God, is referred to the Lord. God the Father is referred to the Lord. But you'd also see where the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, is also referred to the Lord. So when you baptize here in the name of the Lord, you're and indeed baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen? Let's turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. And as Paul ends his second epistle, a letter to the church at Corinth, he writes, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ," there's God the Son, "and the love of God," that's God the Father, "in the communion of the Holy Ghost," God the Son, "be with you all. Amen." Now, we also were looking at the threefold title to the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, under the name of God, affirms both oneness and equality. Let's look at the verse of Scripture here. The Father, who is God, look at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 with me. In Romans chapter 1, verse number 7. "To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, call to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father." So the Father is referred to as God. Looking in Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah chapter 42 with me. In Isaiah chapter 42 and verse number 8. "I am the Lord, that is my name." And of course, it's referring to all in capital letters here, the Father. "I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images." We also see the Son, who is God. Look at in Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1 with me. And in Hebrews chapter 1, let's look at verse number 8 together, Hebrews 1, verse 8. But under the sun, here we are, a reference to Jesus Christ, the sun. But under the sun he saith, thy throne. Now notice how the sun is referred to. He saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever, a scepter of righteousness and the scepter of thy kingdom. So here we see Jesus, the Son, is referred to as God. Amen. Looking in Philippians, the book of Philippians, chapter 2 with me, in verse number 11. Philippians 2, verse 11. That every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. That's going to happen someday. Amen. That every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. All right, the Spirit who is God. Look at in Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5 with me. Acts chapter 5, in verse number 32. And we are his witnesses of these things. So is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Amen. So the Spirit who is God, we see that. Then in 2 Corinthians, chapter 3, verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit. See, remember I said that all three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are referred to as the Lord. Oh, here's the Holy Spirit. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Again, we're looking under the point number one, the Trinity declared. The third thing we've seen so far, each member possesses the same divine attributes and is thus co-equal with the others. We've seen a threefold title to the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit under the name of God, affirms both oneness and equality. The third point we want to look at here is they are considered as three in one in the Old Testament. They are considered as three in one in the Old Testament. Now let's turn back to Isaiah chapter 48, if you would. Isaiah chapter 48. In Isaiah chapter 48, we're going to turn there, and then we're going to compare that with some verses in Revelation. Isaiah 48, beginning in verse 12. Hearken unto me, O Jacob, and Israel my called, I am he. I am the first. I also am the last. Mine hand also hath laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand hath spanned the heavens. When I call unto them, they stand up together. All ye assemble yourselves and hear, which among them hath declared these things, the Lord hath loved him. He will do his pleasure on Babylon, and his arm shall be on the Chaldeans. I, even I, have spoken, yea, I have called him, I have brought him, and he shall make his way prosperous. Come ye near unto me. Hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning, from the time that was, that am I, and now the Lord God in his Spirit hath sent me. So we see within here, within this passage in the Old Testament, we see God the Father referred to, God the Son, as I am the first and I also am the last. We're going to look at Revelation, some references of Revelation, where Jesus says, I am the first and the last. And then also we see, in verse 16, the Spirit. Amen. God the Holy Spirit. So we see that they all are considered one in the Old Testament. Now I want us to compare what we just read, amen, in the book of Revelation. Some references there. Let's turn to Revelation chapter number 1 first. Revelation chapter number 1. Revelation chapter number 1. And verse number 8. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord. And of course, Jesus is speaking here. Which is, which was, which is to come, the Almighty. Look in verse 11. Saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. Remember, we had a reference there, and when we looked at in Isaiah chapter 48, one of the verses we see the Father saying, I am the first and the last. Amen. Obviously, it's Jesus Christ. Jesus is speaking here. And what thou seest, write in a book. Send it unto the seven churches, which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. Let's look at Revelation 21. Revelation 21, in verse number 6. And he said unto me, it is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Amen. Then in Revelation chapter 22, in verse number 13, again Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Now remember, I want us to go back to Isaiah 48 again. Isaiah chapter 48 and verse number 12. We hear God the Father saying, I am he. I am the first. I also am the last. So obviously here in the Old Testament, again, we see that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are considered as three. Amen? Because even though we don't have Jesus, we have God the Father. Amen? Mentioned here. We have God the Father with the word Lord and the Spirit. And even though we don't have Jesus by name mentioned, he's here because I am the first and I and the last. Amen? And the same statement is made by Jesus as it is made by God the Father here in Isaiah. Now, we want to turn our attention to the second main point of our study, is the essence of the Godhead. The essence of the Godhead. And we want to look at several things about the essence. The first thing is sovereignty. Sovereignty is attributed to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. And we're going to look at some verses that show us that. Amen. Because I don't want you to just believe me for saying it. Amen. Let's look, first of all, sovereignty attributed to the Father, to God the Father. And Psalm 83 with me. Psalm 83, if you would. Psalm 83, in verse 18. That men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the most high over all the earth. So here we see in Psalm 83, verse 18, a verse is showing that the sovereignty, he's sovereign, amen, over all the earth. Look at also now, let's look at some references to the Son. Sovereignty is attributed to the Son also. Matthew 28. Matthew 28 with me. In Matthew chapter 28, notice what Jesus says has been given to him. Matthew 28, verse 18. Matthew 28, verse 18. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, notice, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Again, sovereignty. Sovereignty. Jesus as God the Father is sovereign, so is not God the Son. Look at in Philippians. Amen. Philippians chapter 2, I think we just read that a moment ago, not too long ago here. Philippians chapter 2, and in verse number 11. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Lord means sovereign. Amen. You know, some people are just saved, but Jesus is not Lord of their life, and he should be. He should be sovereign. He should be over all your life. Amen. Look with me in Revelation chapter 19. Revelation 19. And in verse number 6. And in the... it's a reference here to the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation 19:6, and I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent, now notice, reigneth. Again, a reference to Jesus Christ, his sovereignty, he reigneth. Now let's look at, see how sovereignty is attributed now to the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians with me. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11. But all of these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Showing that the Holy Spirit has sovereignty. In this chapter 12, it's talking about, amen, the gifts of the Spirit that he gives as he wills. Amen. Showing that he has authority, that he is sovereign. So again, we see then, sovereignty is a tribute to the Father. He is sovereign. God the Son is sovereign. And God the Holy Spirit is sovereign. We have some more things to look at about the essence of the Godhead in relation to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we're going to pick up and look at those things next week as we continue our study on the great doctrine of the Bible, the Trinity. This is Brother Gino. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me for the pastor's study. Until we meet again, my prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.